This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and I told you it was going to be fun because now we are going to speak with a writer who is the biggest writer at Amoland.com, which makes him the biggest writer in the gun space, and that would be Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Hope you're doing well. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always my pleasure to have you. Let's start at the top and work our way back because some of this stuff is really, really good that we missed last week. We have data now from January 2023 on the NICS. What are we seeing about that?
Well, what has happened is that we seem to be starting a continuance of what we saw last year.
Right.
There's very little difference between the number of gun sales and background checks that we are seeing in January of 2023 to what we saw in January of 2022. Just a few percent difference. Last year, I think it was 1.19 million guns sold in January. And this year, it's 1.22 million guns sold. It's just not a very large difference. I think when I ran the numbers, it came up to something like 6% difference on gun sales and 3% difference on background checks. And that's not unreasonable because what we are seeing in the last decade or so is that gun sales are only about half or even less of the total number of NICS, National Instant Background Check System, for those who wonder about the acronym, for the number of NICS checks that are run. Gun sales are less than half. I've seen it considerably less than half. And this last January, just a month ago, last month, it was at about, I think, 53 or 4% of the total NICS were from things other than gun sales. So, you know, what we're saying is to have a 3% drop in NICS checks compared to a gain in NICS checks compared to 6% in gun sales is easily possible because of the high variation in the number of checks that are done for things other than gun sales. So that's not a contradiction. I'm trying to clear that up for people who might wonder about it. And I think this is further evidence that we have bumped the number of gun owners and people interested in shooting in guns up considerably in the last few years, and we're at a new level. Whereas these were record-breaking numbers just a few years ago, they're now kind of normal. They're what we expect. You know, somewhere over a million guns, million and a half guns, average every month sold under the NICS system. The first time I think that we broke a million guns per month was in 2008. So we have seen this jump up. And part of it, I believe, besides getting more people interested, is that guns are just less expensive. Now, I'm going to put that in perspective. You say, well, the prices are higher than they were, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Well, yes, but because of inflation, the relative price is lower for how many hours you have to work in order to get that gun. I have seen, now, I'll have to admit it's shocking, trying to find the best deal, but I have seen that you can buy a complete lower for an AR-type rifle. I was looking at 300 AAC, and the lower doesn't generally have much caliber differentiation for a number. I mean, that you can go with the AR-10 or AR-15 type, but the lower is pretty much the same. And then you can get an upper, a complete upper. I've seen them under $200. So you buy the two. One would have to go through an FFL. That'd be the lower. And you put them together in 10 minutes or less. It takes about a minute. If you know what you're doing, you just have to mate them and push two pins in. And you have a complete rifle or a pistol, if you want to go that route, for as little as $300 for an AR, a very capable center-fire rifle. It takes magazines. Up to 30 or drums to 90 rounds. I mean, it's just a very capable rifle. I mean, that's the type of money I would have expected to pay for a 22 not that long ago. And for a 22, if you look around, you can find 22s in the neighborhood of $100. Now, they're on sale. You have to watch. You know, you have to be a good shopper to get that. But it's not that difficult. You can find capable 9mm pistols on sale around $200. Regularly, they're available for $250. Now, I'm thinking of like the Taurus G2. It's a reasonably good quality 9mm pistol. I mean, depending on what you like, you can go with different pistols, and I normally carry a Glock, but I have people who are made their living carrying guns who are quite happy with the G2. So it's not like it's some super cheap gun that can't be repaired or isn't readily available. And so when you have a lot of product available and people who want a job can find a job and they can buy a good quality gun for 1 week, maybe 2 weeks of labor. I mean, even on minimum wage in 2 weeks, you make more than $500. And that will buy you a completely assembled AR-15 if you look around a little bit. So just the availability for relatively little cost in labor. And these are guns that will last for decades. Take care of any of these guns reasonably, and it'll last for 50-100 years. With just minimum care. So that's part of why we're seeing this bump up. And the other thing is growing the base of gun owners. We've just added more people who want to be armed, who want to have that capability, who don't want the government to say, you're too late. You can't get a legal gun now. You had your chance, but not anymore. And that has grown the number of gun owners. I think there's significantly more than 100 million gun owners in the United States. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 150 million.
That's my thought. That's what I've been thinking. As far as, because, you know, for the very longest time, it stayed static at 300 million for years.
You mean for a population, but 100 million maybe?
No. 300 million guns.
Oh, yeah. Well, they just said that because they never updated it.
Right.
They never updated the numbers. We're getting close to 500 million guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've run the numbers and I've read the literature and I use the same methods that Small Arms Survey out of Switzerland uses. I mean, we come within just a couple of percent of each other. And I'm looking at 500 million guns in this year. By September, I think we'll hit the 500 million gun mark. And the Small Arms Survey several years ago said we were at 393 million, and they were only counting up to 2017.
Yeah.
Well, that's more than 5 years ago.
Yeah. Hang on for me, if you will. Dean has had so many careers. He taught a concealed carry course for 15 years. He had a 30-year career at the Army Research, Development, Testing, and Evaluation. And now he's a writer. I mean, he's had a bunch of lifetimes that he brings to bear when he's writing. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Mm-hmm.
Sykes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Sykes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SykesTactical.com. Sykes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Darren Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Darren is the one who trained the one. And he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at DarrenTactical.com.
Big news from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV censorship of Newsmax continues. AT&T owns DirecTV, and they continue carrying 22 liberal news channels, but they just canceled Newsmax. With OAN gone, that's two conservative channels AT&T has removed in the past year. Newsmax is the fourth highest-rated cable news channel, with great hosts like Greg Kelly, Chris Salcedo, Rob Schmidt, Mike Huckabee, and more. Now, millions of DirecTV subscribers can't watch them on Newsmax. Rand Paul, Mike Huckabee, and former President Trump urge you to cancel DirecTV and AT&T services. Stand up for free speech. Call AT&T and DirecTV now. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX and we'll connect you to DirecTV. If you oppose censorship and support Newsmax, you can also call 877-NEWSMAX. We'll tell you how you can help. Dr. Ben Carson says our freedoms are at stake. He says stand up against AT&T for Newsmax. Call 877-NEWSMAX today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and we're speaking with Dean Weingarten, as we do. And most of the time whenever Dean comes to me with some bear story. You know, it's somehow or other the little girl shot the bear right through the eye socket with something, but most of the time it involves a gun. And it's never, ever involved a pocket knife. And here we have the story. Tell me the story of the pocket knife, Dean.
Well, This happened in 2020, and it was covered somewhat in what you would call the mainstream media. AP ran a story on it, but they didn't talk very much about the details of what happened. And through one of my sources, I was able to get in contact with the person who had been attacked by the bear. His name is Mike Bekwar, and he was in Alaska. He was working on the Alaskan pipeline at pump station number 5, and he was out getting a little exercise and just getting away from camp for a while to try and get away from being stir crazy. And he was attacked by this black bear, a cinnamon color phase black bear. So not all black bears are black. And he had, what he describes as a folding knife. He says, I don't like to call it a pocket knife, but I don't like to call it a folding knife. And it's actually a SOG Trident Elite, but it only has a 3.7-inch blade. That's not a large blade. So one of the ways that people would exercise up there, and this was spring, it was right at the end of May, and I think it was about 58 degrees, and there's a road that goes from the main camp area to the airfield. And then, the airfield has a runway, and so you can run around the runway. And the entire trip is roughly 3.5 miles from the camp out and around the runway and back, maybe a little more. And he had been asked, with maybe a little pressure, to extend his work time because of COVID by 2 weeks, and he was having a difficult time just staying in camp. He wanted to get out, do something different, and he goes out, and he's going for his run, and this bear crosses the runway behind him, and so it cut him off from getting back to camp without going closer to it. Now, it wasn't approaching him at the time. He just saw it from a good ways off. I think he said it was about 300 yards or so. And he looked back and he yelled and to let the bear know that he was there, because black bears are supposed to be afraid of people. So when they hear or see a person around, they're supposed to take off. But this bear just kind of paid no attention and went about doing whatever it was in its bear mind to do. Now, when Mike left camp, he let the security staff know that he expected to be back in about 40 minutes. And he's not a newbie to Alaska. He's been in Alaska for 28 years, very experienced and capable outdoorsman and hunter. And he hunted and dealt with many bears over the decades. So he has a lot of experience with bears. Now, it was his policy that he would never go outdoors in Alaska without means to start a fire, a knife, and a firearm. But the company authorities at pump station number 5 did not allow people to have personal firearms. And he didn't have much for dress on. I mean, he had a t-shirt, running shoes, a hat, running pants, and that's it. So he didn't get any protection during this bear attack from his clothes. And when he started, he's going around the airfield, and he's coming back, and the bear is still up there. So he's looking around, is there anything that I can use as a weapon around here? And there weren't even any rocks available when they created the runway. They used gravel, but the gravel had been crushed pretty fine and sieved, and he said there wasn't anything you could find that was bigger than a nickel for a rock. And he'd been close to black bears before and hadn't had any trouble. So he decided that he would continue on and go past the black bear on his way back to camp. Now, he did consider going cross-country, going off the airfield. But this is springtime in Alaska. There's melt water everywhere. He's not dressed for going out onto the tundra. There's no trees around that you can climb. There's no tree big enough to climb in the area. And so he cautiously kept on going toward camp. He's watching the bear. He's making noise. And the bear goes toward the tower at the airfield. There's a car parked over there. And it, it's just kind of ambling. Doesn't seem to be paying much attention. So as he's getting a bit closer, the bear goes on the road back toward camp. And a little ways down the road, there's a side road that goes toward what Mike described as sort of a salvage yard. And the bear starts down the side road. So Mike continues on, and as he passes the side road on his way back to camp, the bear is about 70 yards away. And he's making noise, you know, as they tell you to do, to make sure the bear knows that you are human. So as he's going just past that side road, he gets a little ways down it, and the bear seems to suddenly pay attention to him and looks, and he starts running toward Mike, a little behind him, so he gets on the road behind him. And Mike said just from the look on the bear's face, he knew this was serious trouble and he was in great danger. So the bear is coming, and Mike is not passive. He's yelling at the bear. He's trying to look big. He's got his knife out, got it open and locked, and he's kicking gravel at the bear, and he throws his hat at the bear. Well, the bear charges to within about 10 yards. It stops momentarily, then closes to 5 yards, stops, closes to an arm's length and pauses, and it all happened much faster than I can tell it.
Well, do me a favor, hold on right there, because I want to hear the rest of this. This is starting to get good. This article, like everything we talk about with Dean, you can find at AmmoLand, where he has well over 2,100 plus other articles waiting for you, all still poignant today, all still worthy of your time. And if you went and started now, you might be done sometime before the end of the year. I'm not sure. But anyway, we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA News Update. Nearly a year since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, President Biden once again pledging U.S. support.
I can proudly say that our support for Ukraine remains unwavering.
Speaking in Warsaw, Poland, the president called out Russia's brutality against the Ukrainian people, accusing troops of being mercenaries and committing crimes against humanity. The EPA is ordering Norfolk Southern to pay for all the cleanup associated with a toxic train derailment earlier this month in East Palestine, Ohio. Administrator Michael Regan promised the federal government would hold the company responsible for cleanup of all contamination. SpaceX is preparing for a launch that will send four people to the International Space Station, the Crew 6 mission set to blast off early Sunday morning from Cape Canaveral, Florida. On board will be two NASA astronauts, a Russian cosmonaut, and a long-duration astronaut from the United Arab Emirates. They will spend 6 months on the space station. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten, and we were just talking about this bear that was, man, defended himself with, what, a spork? What did he do? I mean, he got in there and he, oh, no, it was a locking folding knife with a 3.7-inch blade.
Yeah. Which is not a very big knife.
Yeah. Tell me about this.
The bear is getting closer. It's running toward him, and it stops, and then at 10 yards, and it stops at 5 yards, and he's yelling at it, kicking gravel at it, trying to get it to show that he's not something the bear wants to take on. But when I was talking to Mike, he said that the look on the bear's face made it clear the bear was in predatory mode. And this was the bear's lucky day, and Mike was supposed to be lunch. So as the bear pauses about an arm's length from Mike, and then the bear rakes Mike's face with its claws and hooks Mike's knee from behind to pull him down. And as that happens, Mike slashes the bear's snout with the knife, and then as he goes down, he stabs the bear in the chest. And Mike said that at that point, the bear's attitude seemed to change. And it was that now the bear was fighting something that was dangerous, not just lunch. And the bear, he said, worked hard to control Mike's head, to keep his face away from the bear. Now, the way Mike explained this, he thought, and I think it's true, that bears mostly fight with their teeth. Their teeth are their primary weapons. And so when they're fighting another bear, what they try to do is keep the bear's face away from them so that they can't be bitten or not bitten as well. And he thought that when the bear felt the strikes with the knife, it thought that it was being bitten somehow, so it tried to keep his face away. So the bear is like tearing at him. It bit him in the shoulders. One shoulder was broke multiple into multiple pieces. It tore at his arms. And as this bear is trying to control Mike, he's squirming and twisting and trying to find a way that he can get at the bear with the knife. And he said he managed to sink that 3.7-inch blade in between the bear's ribs three times. But a 3.7-inch blade just isn't long enough to reach bear vitals. You know, Mike said bears, their vital areas are much better protected than humans. And I said, yeah, well, that's why we develop standoff weapons like spears, you know, so we can get at those vitals easier. But he only had a knife with a 3.7-inch blade. So the bear is tearing at him and trying to get at him. And at one point, the bear is straddling him with paws on both sides of him, his front paws on both sides of him. And he'd at this point lost a lot of strength in his arms because the bear is chewing him up and breaking his shoulders. But he manages to get the knife at the bear's chest, and he uses his leg to help push the knife, and he gets a pretty good 6-inch long gash in the front of the bear's chest. And then the bear grabs him by the shoulder and is trying to drag him off of the rope. And Mike figured that the bear was taking him somewhere to eat him. And so he, without much strength left in his arms, he starts kicking the bear. And he's kicking the bear, and the bear responds. It grabs him by the leg. It fractured his left leg and bit right through his left calf.
Wow.
And then the bear went for his head. And at this point, Reich remembers the bear's teeth grating on his skull. And I've heard several survivors say the same thing. They say it's just a very distinctive sound of those teeth scraping along the skull, you know, trying to crack it and break it. But it turns out human skulls are not that easy to break. And so he's struggling. The bear is trying to get him to stop. And finally, the bear drops him on the road. And the bear, he said, came around and looked him directly in the face, eye to eye, for about 30 seconds, maybe even as much as a minute. Hard to know. Now, Mike had actually been keeping track of time while he was running, so he had a very good idea of when the attack started and when it ended. So the bear looks him in the face, holds that look for a while, and then the bear turns and walks away. Now, I'm sure it took a little while, but Mike gathered what energy he had left, and he struggles to his feet. And he looks back, and here's two places on the road, two areas about 6 feet in diameter, just covered with blood. And blood's just drizzling from him, his body, onto the ground. And when he looked at the bear in the face, he said the bear was just covered with blood, and I'm sure Mike was too, and he said he couldn't tell which blood was from which, how much from bear, how much from him. And he had lost a shoe in this fight, so he picked it up, and he tries to put it back on. But his hands were kind of mangled up. He'd lost fingernails, and his arms were chewed up, and he couldn't get to them. So finally he said to himself, look, just walk back to camp. So he starts walking back to camp, and he makes about 10 steps before he starts to pass out. And he started the fight after a 3.5-mile run. So he wasn't in, like, most oxygenated state to start with. And then
right.
He is in a deadly fight for his life. So he says, well, to himself, I'm just going to rest for a bit, and then I'll go back again. So he lies down. He puts his shoe down so he can lie his head on it on the gravel. He lies down. And then he finds he can't get back up. No matter how hard he tries, he just doesn't have the strength to get to his feet again. And he had checked the time. The bear had walked off at 7:13 p.m. He'd fought the bear for 15 minutes. And it wasn't just perceived time because he checked his watch while he was running. So he knew that camp security, one, he had told them he should be back in 40 minutes, and that's just a few minutes away. So he's hoping they'll come out and find him. And they also had a routine that they would come out and check the airfield every evening at about 9 o'clock. So he hoped they'd realize he was overdue. Well, they found him at 8:40. And they applied first aid, and then they medevaced him by plane to Fairbanks, 250 miles away. Now, at this time of year in Alaska, it's about 20 hours of daylight. Maybe even more, because the nearest point I found was a little south of pump station number 5. And it never gets really dark, because even when the sun is down below the horizon, it's not very far below the horizon, and so skylight tends to allow you to see in sort of the twilight pretty well. So Mike was able to talk to people the whole time, and he told security that the bear would be back. He says, I've been around Alaska a lot. I know bears. This bear will be back between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m.
Wow.
The next day.
I tell you what.
So camp,
hang on right there, because now this is really interesting. It's been interesting the whole time. This article is at amaland.com, waiting for you right now, along with 2,100 plus other articles from Mr. Weingarten. All right there, all waiting for you. And, of course, you know, Dean is the big, everything Dean writes about, for the most part, is going to be pertinent when you find it. Not today, not yesterday, but when you find it. And that's what makes his style so entertaining. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, and we've been talking about this bear attack where dude had to defend himself. He looked all around, and all he had was a 3.7-inch knife. And we've just gotten to the part where now he's telling them he's forecasting when the bear's going to be back.
And, you know, it's a reasonable sort of forecast. I mean, this bear had tore Mike up. Mike wasn't able to respond very well at the very end. And so I'm thinking the bear is coming back just to get lunch. But security did go out to the airfield. They got there at 5 o'clock. The bear showed up at 5:05. Right on time. And they shot at it with an AR-15 and .223. And hollow point bullets. And the bear went down, and then it got up and ran off, and they couldn't find it. So the next evening, or next day, people searched for it, and the camp manager went up in a helicopter, and they looked, and they saw the bear coming toward the airfield again. And it went, and it charged the security team people, and they finally shot the bear with three shots with 12-gauge shotgun. 2.75-inch federal low recoil slugs, and they killed the bear. And Mike has a couple of pictures there that he sent me where it shows this gash on the bear's chest that he inflicted on it while he was fighting the bear. He said before they shot the bear and found the gash, they weren't very willing to believe that he'd fought the bear with this knife, relatively small knife. But when they saw the gash, they said, oh, yeah, I guess he really did. And it's a fair size. It was in the springtime, a fair-sized bear, a black bear, cinnamon. It weighed a little over 200 pounds, 210 pounds, I think, but it was pretty skinny, which is not that uncommon in a bear in the springtime. They just haven't got a chance to get much food yet. So, of course, they tend to be rather hungry, too. He said it would have been a 6-foot bear is the way they measure bear skins in Alaska, which is just a, you know, a normal sized male black bear. And he also said that when he talked to the people who manage wildlife up there, that they were aware that there were some other attacks by cinnamon black bears as well. So there might be some kind of a genetic propensity in the area. The other thing that he talked about was that in that area, because there's no trees to climb, and one of the primary defenses for black bears is to climb a tree, he said that the black bears in that area, because there were a fair number of grizzlies around, had to be more aggressive. And he thought that might have been something that happened. And they don't allow hunting with firearms for 5 miles on either side of the Alaskan pipeline. I had not realized that until Mike told me. But if you're not allowed to hunt bears with firearms, it explains why they might not be very afraid of people. Now, Mike usually carries a handgun. And he said anywhere that he can, he normally carries a handgun with him, and particularly if he's going outdoors in Alaska. And he said that if he had had a handgun, he could have killed that bear half a dozen times. No, I'm wrong. A dozen times, he said. But I would have a cool story instead of a really bad time. And as with a lot of survivors that have been through extremely traumatic situations, Mike finds himself thinking about this and reliving the attack. Mike said he just keeps going over it again, quoting, what should I have done to make this better? And then he said, talking about the bear. He visits me every day, mostly at night, and we fight again. Mike says he knew the risks, and he went ahead with his exercise routine anyway, and that a lot of other people took those same risks, and they were not attacked. So, you know, just because you've been attacked doesn't mean you got out of a large number. It just means maybe the stars lined up against you at that point. Now, interestingly, Mike says he does not think bear spray would have changed his circumstances. And he talked about several examples, and I've written about some of them, where people were attacked and they sprayed bears. And some of those people were killed anyway. And some of them were mauled. So he doesn't think bear spray would have made much difference. And he actually told me that if given the choice of having his knife and going back through the attack again, having his knife or bear spray, he'd still choose his little knife. Which says a lot about his lack of faith in bear spray.
Right.
Now, I agree with Mike on this because what researchers have seen, particularly with black bears, is that when they are in a predatory mode, and clearly this was a predatory attack, when they're in that mode, bear spray just doesn't seem to affect black bears very much. And they've come back numerous times, and people have been killed even though the bears have been sprayed. And we agreed that if a bear shows interest in humans and doesn't show any fear and approaches to less than 10 yards, it should be met with gunfire. In Alaska and in the lower 48 as well, there's plenty of black bears. There's, I think, about 50,000 in Alaska or so, and about 500,000 in the lower 48. There's no shortage of black bears. A number of them have to die every year just to keep the population stable.
Right.
And so the very few that are a threat to people, if they're killed, they just won't be a noticeable difference in the black bear population. So there's no legitimate reason not to kill threatening black bears because it doesn't affect the population dynamics of bears. It's no threat to the species at all. Now, I disagree with the company's stance. I think Mike was a little hesitant about saying it, but I disagree with the company's stance on forbidding workers from having their own personal firearms at this site. If you're going to allow the workers to go off-site, and that seems reasonable, and Mike said many people would go out fishing or even berry picking, you should allow them to have their firearms for protection. And I think that because of the politics of the debate on guns and the Second Amendment, that some companies have just become leery about allowing workers to have private firearms. But on these remote sites, it'd be pretty easy to set up a range, and it'd be another way for workers to do something to take their minds off being away from civilization and in a place that may not be as interesting as they would otherwise like it to be. The way they could increase their skill. And it's hard for me to believe that in Alaska it would not be appreciated. Just about everybody in Alaska knows how to shoot from the time they're about 15 or 16, I think, and many of them a lot earlier. So that would be my prescription, that the company should allow them to have their personal weapons. And unfortunately, a lot of companies are politically correct these days.
Now, is that because of some sort of liability? Do we know? I mean,
I don't know.
And do the people that work there, do they have recourse if they get, you know, if that policy gets them messed up, like with Mike there?
It's a good question. Now, Mike didn't say anything about.
Unfortunately, we don't even have time to explore that, though. I just wondered about that because, you know, 5 miles in either direction, that's a pretty big range. How long?
It is.
Yeah, I don't even know. That goes the whole length of the pipeline?
I understand it does, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
everything. Wildlife reserve.
If hopefully everything goes right, and we'll be speaking with Dean again on Friday. So thank you for joining me today, sir.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. This article got published. Let's see. One quick note. Got published on the 9th. It's out there. You should give it a read because it is. It makes you think about going out for those nice little hikes out there in the wilderness on a pretty day. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.